In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. And a blessed day as we are in the middle of the beautiful feast of the meeting of our Lord Jesus in the temple. It's a celebration that occurs 40 days after Christmas. And as we heard in today's gospel, as was the custom among the Jews and according to the Old Testament law, when Jesus was 40 days old, Mary and Joseph brought him to the temple to present him to the Lord. And that custom even continues to this day in the Orthodox Church when moms bring their new babies to church for a 40-day blessing. But part of the Old Testament presentation of a child involved an offering of a lamb and a turtle dove, or else two turtle doves if you couldn't afford the lamb. And we spoke on that offering this past Tuesday, so you can listen to Tuesday's sermon for more on the offering and what that means. In the case of Jesus, there were also two prophets, Simeon and Anna, who met him there and prophesied about who Jesus was and what he would accomplish. And then St. Simeon also prays his famous prayer, "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace," wherein he declares Jesus to be the light to enlighten the Gentiles and the glory or the radiance of Israel. And this theme of Jesus being the light or the radiance, we also discussed that in Tuesday's sermon, so you can listen to that for the theme of light. So today, as we continue in this feast, I would like to focus on another particular line from the story that sometimes makes people pause. The reason Mary and Joseph bring Jesus is not only to fulfill a legal requirement of the religious law, but there's something more profound and deep in this presentation, this meeting of the Lord. And let me quote directly. "It is written in the law of the Lord, every male child that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord." Every male child that opens the womb shall be called holy, shall be declared holy to the Lord. And now for clarity, the phrase "opens the womb," that means the firstborn. It's the firstborn child that opens the womb, because after the firstborn, the rest are easy, right? Okay, maybe it doesn't work that way, but that's still the figure of speech from that day. The firstborn is the one described as the one to open the womb. But the questions that arise that give people pause are, first of all, where does that line come from, every male child that opens the womb shall be called holy? And why, oh why, oh why does it say every male child that opens the womb shall be called holy instead of just every child that opens the womb shall be called holy? Is it implying that a girl can't be holy? Well, let's get some context. The reference Luke is making in his gospel comes from the book of Exodus, 13th chapter, if you're interested in reading it, where this line occurs actually three times in the one chapter. The first time it says, "Every firstborn child shall be called holy." The second time it says, "Every male child shall be declared holy." And then the third time it combines the two and says, "Every male child that opens the womb," which is to say that is the firstborn, "shall be declared holy." So the context is not only that males are declared holy, but specifically firstborn males. So it's not just the girls, but all of us middle kids are not included in that declaration either, male or female. And I think two things will help us understand this a bit better. The first is more context. When did God say this? What was happening when God told Moses to declare as holy the firstborn males? What was going on? Well, it comes right as Israel is just starting to leave bondage in Egypt, even before they crossed the Red Sea. And do you remember what happened the very night before they left bondage? At midnight, the previous night, every male firstborn in all of Egypt perished. Every last one of them. Only, and except only those households of Israel who had spread lamb's blood on their doorpost were spared, were passed over by the angel of death. That was a horrible, dreadful night. Only the firstborn males of Israel spared. I mean, even if your family was spared, you knew what was going on down the street. And not every one of your neighbors was a slave driver. Most of them were peasants just as well as you were. And you're hearing these horrors. This is the context of what's going on. And the very next morning, God says to Moses, every firstborn male shall be called holy. It's not because they're better than the girls or better than the middle kids. It's because they were the ones that were in danger. I'm sure you remember a couple years back when two Clayton students were tragically lost their lives in an automobile accident. And all over the whole region, signs went up and shirts were printed with a message, Clayton Strong. Maybe you remember that. And it wasn't just in Clayton. Those signs went everywhere, all over the whole western Wisconsin. Clayton Strong. Well, that never implied that Clear Lake or Amory aren't strong. It's just that Clayton was the community that was suffering. Every firstborn male child shall be called holy doesn't mean they're holier. It doesn't mean that the others aren't holy. It means the firstborn males were the ones who barely escaped tragedy by God's grace. And it even says right there in Exodus that the point of declaring the firstborn males holy is so that we remember God delivering them from danger, that we remember they're the ones that were delivered from danger. And it even says in Exodus, it says, when your kid asks you, when your child asks you, why do we sanctify the firstborn boys? Why did God command that? It even expects your kids are going to ask that. It expects that question's going to come up. It's right there in Exodus. It says, you tell your children what happened to all the firstborn males in Egypt, how they all perished on the same night, and how God redeemed the firstborn males only of Israel. Now, this commandment to declare holy the male child that opened the womb is nothing to take lightly. It's because, God is saying to Moses, it's because your freedom from bondage came at a cost. That's really what it means. It means your freedom from bondage came at a cost. And at the time of the commandment, it happened the night before. It was fresh, and it was raw, and it was all they were thinking about. And so that's the first part of what this line means. But besides its historical context, there is a second meaning. The declaration of the firstborn males being declared holy is also prophetic. It's not only so we remember an event in our past, it was also pointed to something in their future. There was another male child coming who would redeem us all from a very different kind of bondage, a slavery not to Pharaoh, but to sin and death itself. And this male child would be firstborn. This firstborn son would both accept the slaughter and also escape the slaughter. And this firstborn son would truly and finally be perfectly holy. And the firstborn son we are speaking of is, of course, our Lord and God and Savior, Jesus Christ. The one who spares us from death. The one who releases us from the bondage of slavery. And so this line, every male child that opens the womb shall be called holy. It's both a remembrance of what it took for Israel to be freed from bondage to Pharaoh. And it's a prophecy of the Savior who would come to free us from the bondage to sin and death. And that declaration that every male child that opens the womb shall be called holy, that declaration is that true deliverance comes at a cost. Amen.